A warning for our viewers out there, this podcast is in no way affiliated with MasterChef, its contestants, or the production. Hey guys, this is Chef Kelsey Murphy from MasterChef Season 11, and I am here with my filmmaker friend, Pete Ferrero. We are here to chat about MasterChef Season 13, The United Tastes of America. Each week, we're going to break down every single episode, chatting about the contestants, their dishes, and all of the drama that is sure to come. Hey guys, welcome to The Real Eats. Kelsey here with my good friend Pete, and we are here to interview the infamous Madame Donut. We cannot wait to talk to her. Here she is.
How are you?
Oh my God, your hair is amazing right now.
Thank you. I always tell people not to get used to it because it will change again.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. How are you?
Good. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Where are you recording from? Where are you right now?
I'm at home in my little foyer.
Nice. Very nice.
I just got back from Alaska a couple of days ago.
Oh, that's right. Were you there with James and...
Right. We did a fundraising dinner. It coincided with their watch party. And we used the opportunity to also do a fundraising dinner for Maui Fire Victims.
Well, that's one. I love that you guys are traveling around, seeing each other, doing events together. It seems like everybody has just like bonded so much and is helping each other out. Yeah. It's really incredible.
Yes. That's you're probably going to ask it. I don't know if you are, because everybody asks like, what's the best thing about MasterChef or what did I get out of it? It's like, the network of new friends who are super supportive. And in fact, I reach out to every cook and everyone's kind of doing a little something to support and help out Maui. So I'm very, very thankful for that. That's my win.
Since we're already talking about it, tell me like what you've been doing, what's been going on. Like, we've been thinking about you. I know like this is obviously so close to home, and you've been very involved, which is amazing. So give us a rundown.
Yeah. Obviously everybody knows about the Maui fire at this point, and happened on the 8th, August 8th. And literally in less than 24 hours, I have a good network of people here. I started a nonprofit in the beginning of the pandemic to help, you know, promote like self-sustainability through food here on Maui. And so... through that, I have a lot of network, farmers and other people who are in that sector, you know, who are trying to help feed people, basically. And so basically, we just reach out to each other. And when the fire happened, one of my friends, who also has her own nonprofit, we basically just like rushed to the Culinary School, because we knew that they have a big kitchen, and we figured we needed a hub to start making food for people. Now, at the same time, so many other chefs and other kitchens were making food and other places. And then basically I sent out a message, a kahea, a call out to people to come together. And then most of us pretty much just used the culinary school to make food. And basically in less than 24 hours, we were making 10,000 meals a day.
Oh, to send my out gosh.
To it was really grassroots operation. Like, this was before any government organizations.
Right, before they stepped in. And
Yeah.
So that's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. And I just mentioned this to Denton. I had another interview earlier. And going back to my my audition, and I remember Joe. I love Joe. He said that Hawaii isn't the first place he thinks of when it comes to food. And I said, I'm here to change his mind. And honestly, Hawaii, to me, it's the people feeding together. And to me, that is food. That is what makes Hawaii so food-centered, is that we're going to feed people no matter what, through whether it's needed or it's for celebratory reasons. We come together with food in mind. We're always feeding everybody.
And I think that's very fitting, because I was just going to say, you would hope that like any community would come together that way. But I think in particular in Hawaii, that it's just like an obvious, you know, like that's just what you do, because that's part of family and culture and everybody's family there. And so there was nothing else to do, but everyone's going to come together and help everybody out immediately. Yeah. So
community is very, very strong here in Maui, and I'm very, very part. I'm very, very proud to be a part of that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
MD, were you a fan of MasterChef before you came onto it? Had you seen it? Did you know what it was?
No, I kind of feel a little silly because I don't watch much TV, and they reached out. Can I say that? They reached yeah. out to me. I think they reached out to a few people. And I actually said no at first because I don't know. I don't watch TV. And to be honest, I haven't even seen most of the episodes on the season because I have to make a point of it to watch it, sure. you know?
Right,
I
yeah.
I have Hulu. So I was able to see the auditions and a couple of episodes recently because I was traveling, but otherwise I've hardly seen the show.
But you were aware of Gordon, I'm sure, who that is.
Oh, yes.
And the judges. Course, yes. Yeah. What was it like to see it come to life in person where they're, you know, throwing a steak or talking about someone's dish? What was that like to experience live?
It was really interesting. I hated it.
I bet. Not many people like it.
I watched some episodes before coming on the show to have at least a good idea. You know, you go on the internet. But, you know, editing is so different. And I have to say, I didn't know how reality TV works enough to have a really good understanding. So when I came on and realized what, you know, how things go, and I mean, the whole, like, I'm a free bird, okay? I need to go outdoors and, you know, go hiking anytime I want and dip in the ocean or what. So to be like enclosed, and I understand why it was real. I didn't realize how much it was going to affect me. I was depressed. I didn't, and I'm not a depressed kind of person. I am usually very just happy in general, you know, and free. But when I was there, thank you. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to be as sad and as disconnected, like how much it was going to affect me to be there away from my, you know, my normal habitat, if you will. And it was really interesting. I was very depressed when I was there.
It's super challenging. I mean, and it's like prison. I mean,
I called it holding cell. I called it holding cell. And when I left, I was like, oh my God, I got out of prison. I use that term all the time.
Yeah. Someone's got to like know when you're peeing and like, you know, like, it's,
oh my God, yeah.
So the difference being that you get to be on television make all these incredible dishes and interact with Gordon Ramsay.
Also, it makes it very, I don't know, you quickly understand that you are a contestant on a show.
And you know, honestly, because of the nature of the competition, it's not like you're making your own food out of love the way most of us, I think, you know, make food at home. So that part was challenging because I always say my food doesn't taste as good when I'm not in love with what I'm making. Sure. And I felt very, I'm also from Hawaii. Okay. So we don't do 60 minute cooking. We hang out, you know, we're like talking story in between. It probably takes all day, which is how we want to cook food, you know, but that's part of the challenge. And that's what makes it, you know, extra challenging and fun to watch, you know, but
it's a very valid point though. It's a very valid point. It's not something that anyone's really talked about. It's like, you know, having to sort of shape into a 60-minute challenge or a specific genre of food when you're want to feel like making this morning. It must be very tough.
Well, if you think about like all cuisines and like what you can make and can't make, like if you only have 60 minutes, like the pool of like food options is very small.
Yeah, and also I found it very constricting because, I mean, I love the idea of United Tastes of America and representing Hawaii. However, the pantry did not have a lot of Hawaiian ingredients. So for me to Hawaiianize dishes was very difficult for me. And I specifically wanted to avoid pineapples. Because if you talk to any real Hawaiian, pineapple is not really regarded as something Hawaiian. In fact, some Hawaiians kind of, you know, I don't want to, what's the word? Like, they find it off-putting to use pineapple on something and call it Hawaiian. So I, in the back of my mind, kind of avoid pineapple if you can. And so it was like, I was very limited to making it my regional cuisine. So, you know, that was a challenge in that.
I've heard that from quite a few other, like Sue, who was on my season, you know, like there weren't like a lot of authentic Burmese, like ingredients for her to use. So it did make it challenging when she wanted to do something that was authentic to her. She only she could only do it every so often because there was like not that many options for her to make.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, definitely plays into the gameplay of like, well, how do I showcase my own skills?
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
Can we talk
and I
about,
think everybody I mean,
sorry. Can we talk about your donuts?
Yeah.
Kelsey, you were there. When
I got to eat a donut.
So,
you know what, though? Yes.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well, it was interesting because I was very depressed that day. I was probably one of my worst days, and Kelsey was there. And I feel like I held up shoot that day because I couldn't stop crying. And so I kind of wanted to do something comforting for myself, right? So I was like, I don't think I even told them that I was going to make a donut. I was just going to make a donut for my own therapy, you know, but I couldn't make my real donuts. My donuts take 2 to 3 days to make because I make, you know, I make slow fermented doughs and I make everything from scratch. So I was like, okay, I'll just make cake donuts. But then they didn't have the droppers.
Yeah.
So I couldn't even fry them. And so I was like, oh, okay. But I memorized a yellow cake recipe from, you know, preparing for the cake challenge in my head. I was like, okay, if I do a cake, I'll. So anyways, that's what I remember. So I just pivoted to just baking a cake in a donut mold. And so in a way, it's not representative of the kind of donuts that I make, you know, and again, 60 minutes, what do you do? So I made the best of, I did what I could do. And also I'm so well known not to put any pre-made ingredients on my donuts. I make my own cereals from scratch. I make my own sprinkles from scratch. So to put like fruity, pebbly thingies on top is like, oh my God, I'm almost embarrassed that I put it on there. But I think in the back of my mind, I just want to make donuts. It was for me. I didn't care what the judges thought of it. In fact, when they called me, I was surprised because I didn't think it was my best, you know, but again, it was just therapy for me at that point. Like, I didn't care.
Well, and that's kind of one of those things where, like you said it already, just you're cooking just from a place of like pure, just like love. It didn't matter about the competition. Yeah. It didn't matter about anything. And it was so funny the whole time the judges were like, these are donuts. They're cake donuts. They're cake. And I was like, guys, like, yes, but also lots of donuts are just cake batter. And yes, lots of times are fried, but she's doing what she can. And like,
exactly.
And they still, regardless, they were freaking fantastic. So like,
thank you.
Yes, they were like, I was telling Pete and I've told them a million times. I'm like, they were so good. Like, and really thank because you. Of, like the icing was so good. I was like, like, you could tell, like, it was just like a warm hug. Like you were just like,
thank you.
Yeah.
See, that's a donut to me, like a hug, right?
Yes. They were a warm hug. I was like, oh, these are so good. And they just literally made me happy. I still, that was like the one, that's the only thing like I remember, like really remember tasting from anybody's dish. So
I appreciate that. It's so funny because the whole donut thing, and I'm sure, I don't know if you're going to ask it, but people always ask me like, how, like, what's up with the Madame Donut name? Because I literally changed my name legally to Madame Donut. And people think it's just about the donut. But like you said, the hug to me, when I changed my name legally, I was going through a lot of life changes and also like purpose. So it was during the pandemic when I realized that sustainability here on Maui, like I cannot tell you enough how important it is for me to represent Maui and how Maui means the world to me and, you know, people, the community here. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, that is the real donut to me, is the hug, the sustainability, the community. And so when I changed my name legally, that's really what I meant. It was about the community. It wasn't just about the donut, but the donut was kind of my what made me famous here on Maui. Sure. And how it connected me to the community. And, you know, I had just gotten divorced at that time. And my mom was like, are you going to keep your married name? And I was like, I shouldn't. And she's like, people already know you as Madame Donut. And I was like, well, if that's okay, I'll change it legally. Because I had it as my legal DBA. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it's funny. So if my mom was okay with me changing it to Madame Donut, I was like, I'm going for it. And I
love it.
Really
it really
stand
like, fits, it fits your personality. Like it fits you. It fits person. And honestly, I didn't realize this. You can like literally change your name to anything you want.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't either. Yeah. It was actually really cool.
You, like you can pick whatever you want. So
I get stopped all the time in the airport and they're like, is this, how do you say your name? And I said, Madame Donut. And they're like, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, just making sure that matches what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So we were super sad to see you go. I will say though, I was very, while it stinks to be like sent home on a challenge when you are doing something authentic to yourself. It's mm-hmm. also, I think it's also great to just get the opportunity to do that and to showcase it
yes.
and to talk about it. So like when it was all unfolding, I was like, you know what? Yes, it stinks. I don't want her to go, but at least you were able to showcase something else of your culture,
yeah.
you know, on the show.
I honestly wouldn't change much with the dish that I was sent home for.
Good.
Other than maybe I should have not used the cutter that they gave me for the spiralizer. I didn't know how to
right.
use that particular thing. So it looked really funny. You know, I grill every week, like once or twice a week, but I literally start with fire. I actually grew up making fire 3 times a day to cook our meals because I grew up in a boonies. Like we didn't have electricity when I was a kid. So that's how we cook meals 3 times a day. So I am really like, I was hoping for a fire challenge because that's something I can do like that. Like you can put me anywhere in the mountains or something.
Like an actual fire. Meal. Right.
Yeah. So, and honestly, I've never grilled on a regular grill in my life. Now that I think about it, you know, and so I wanted to show that you can use fire in cooking or grilling and cooking, not just for the grill marks, you know, the typical barbecue look, you know, because here in Hawaii, for example, we have an imu where, you know, you dig up the ground and you put your pig or whatever
in it
and then banana leaves and so it we use it as an oven for example or using it as like steaming things
right.
So I grew up wrapping things in leaves, banana leaves with perfume it or tea leaves and I wanted to showcase that, you know, and I wanted to showcase like two types of seafood because I was born in another island and I'm now in Maui in another island. So I wanted my idea was a surf and surf, you know? So I wanted to show that off. And the fact that you have different components in most of our meals here. And I guess in my mind, I was still thinking of the United Tastes of America kind of theme. And I'm like, this is what we make. And that's what I want to show. And the judges are looking for something else and that's fine. I am not, like, I am so proud of that dish or at least what it represents that you probably could tell, I don't know, it hasn't aired at this point, but I was happy that day. I was, because my experience making the donuts prior, in the prior episode, empowered me to just make whatever I wanted. At that point, I was already in the top 10, and I really felt like winning the title wasn't the end goal for me.
Sure.
From the get-go, when I said yes to MasterChef, from the get-go, I wanted to represent where I come from. I wanted to represent home cooking because I talk about community a lot. And it really means everything to me. And I think community starts from the home.
Yeah.
And like I said, my nonprofit, the whole idea is to teach people how to cook at home using ingredients that you can gather from where you are, local ingredients or something you can forage or you can hunt. I hunt, I fish, you know,
right.
And I want to show people that you can do that. So in the back of my mind, I wanted to use MasterChef as a platform to talk about that. Maybe
that's amazing. We have to wrap you up at this point. I'm so sorry, but I just wanted to say, you were so amazing on the show. And Joe said something so wonderful about the colors that you brought to the show and the bright light that I thought that you brought to this. So it was awesome to see what your approach was going to be every week, and just filled with so much kindness. And thank you for being with us, and thank you for being on MasterChef. Anything on last notes on your thoughts?
Yes, MD, I've said this to everybody and I mean this wholeheartedly. You are now part of the MasterChef family and part of my family. So anyway, I can be of assistance or help, you just reach out to me and let me know.
Yeah, okay. And actually, I want to take this opportunity to, if you know, again, just going back to the Maui fire, anyone who can help, there, you know, if you can follow my, you can at least check out my Instagram. There are different ways to help out there. You can send money, or if you want to go on vacation, please come to Maui. We need business. So just, you know, just don't forget that there is something going on that's bigger and more important than us here in Maui. And I really hope that people can support.
Thank you so much, MD. Appreciate it.
Thanks, MD.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Thanks, guys. Stay tuned. We have the wall challenge coming up next.